Morning. John Bunyan, he's one of my favorite authors. He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. I'm reading that with one of my sons right now, my 9-year-old. He spent 12 years in a Bedford jail in England. 12 years of his life he spent in jail. And I wonder if you know what his crime was. His crime was preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel got him 6 years in jail. They let him out. If he wouldn't do it again, he did it again and ended up being in prison for a total of 12 years of his life. And so through that trial, he learned a great deal about prayer. He's a good resource to go to understand prayer, as he learned much about crying out to God from his time in jail. And in 1662, he wrote a little book called Praying in the Spirit. And in that book, he has this definition of prayer. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. So prayer is, it's just conversation with God. It's conversation with God as we approach Him and we speak to Him. And this prayer, this access to God, would be impossible. It'd be impossible without Jesus, who is our mediator, who has reconciled us to God the Father. And so in Ephesians 2:18, you'll remember Paul wrote, "For through Christ we both have access in one spirit to the Father." So Jesus has made it possible for us to pray. And then here in Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching us how to actually do it. And he begins in verses 5 through 8 by making something very clear, and it is this: God does not hear people based on how they pray. God hears people based on who they are. So we don't pray to impress others. We don't pray in order to impress God. God doesn't hear you because of your eloquence or because of your sophistication or because the form of your prayer. Assuming you are a Christian, God hears you because He loves you. And He is a father who is bending down to listen to His beloved children. And then with that out of the way, Jesus moved on with His model prayer, beginning in verse 9, saying, "Pray then like this." So He told them, and He tells us, this is how you ought to pray. And one of the things that we've learned so far is that it's good to begin our prayer with praise. It's good to begin with an attitude of worship directed to God, our Father in heaven. Matthew 6:9. "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then from worship, we looked last week, Jesus moved on in His prayer to surrender. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So practically speaking, this model prayer from Jesus has now moved from prayer, and now it's moved to petition. Attitudinally, so our attitude when we pray has moved from worship to surrender, and now in verse 11 today, it moves into dependence. So this model prayer of Christ, it goes from worship to surrender and now to dependence. Dependence on the Lord. worship God through prayer, surrender to God in prayer, and now we see depend on God through prayer. So that dependence on God reflected in prayer, that's what we will be considering today. But before we do, let's pray together. Will you please bow your heads with me? Our Father in heaven, we come before you again and ask for your help. As here we are in this world, in these bodies, in this place, and without you, we won't understand and we won't apply. Our hearts are cold and our minds are dark without you. So bring us light and heat, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's read today's verse, and we'll read it in context. So beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's worship. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's surrender. And now here's the petition we're examining today, and it expresses dependence. Verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. I give you the outline for this message. We're going to answer two questions. And the first question we'll look to answer is, what are we being told to pray for here? Let's make sure we understand. What exactly are we being told to pray for? And then second, we'll ask the question, and what is the basis for this prayer? What is the foundation, the reason that is beneath this prayer? And I'll go ahead and tell you, but we'll get there. It is a dual basis. One, we are totally dependent on God. And second, God is totally dependable. Those are two great truths. We are totally dependent on God, and good news, God is totally dependable. So let's begin with that first question. What are we being told to pray for here? I think we're to the point in our prayer where we get to our list. We've talked about that before. What's on your list? I'm sure you've got lots of specifics. Health-related, and job-related, and family-related, future-related. You know the specifics. In general, we might be asking God to give us patience. God, give me help. God, give me favor. Give me success. God, give me strength. God, give me comfort. We're petitioning God. We're asking God to give to us. Well, what's on the top of Jesus's list? Give what? And the answer is bread. So when's the last time you prayed for bread? What kind of bread are we talking about? Is this sourdough? Pumpernickel? Gluten-free? What kind of bread is Jesus praying for? It's probably not talking about just bread. I mean, this must have a spiritual meaning. He must mean food for our soul. This can't just be a physical thing that he's praying for. And that's what the early church, those first few centuries after the scripture was written, that's what many in the early church, that's what they believed. They tended to spiritualize this verse. This isn't physical bread Jesus is praying for, they thought. This is metaphorical, right? Jesus is the bread of life. So they thought this is more spiritual. Augustine, he thought it might refer to the invisible bread of the Word of God. So maybe bread means the Word of God, or he thought maybe it means the Last Supper. It's referring to communion. But by the 16th century, so this would be the Reformation now, we're all, as Protestants, downstream from the Reformers, most of the Reformers, they went back and they preferred a plain reading of the text, and they actually did not spiritualize it. In fact, John Calvin went so far as to call the spiritualizing of this text, and I quote, exceedingly absurd. So he thought that was just what many in the early church were doing. He thought that was silly and absurd to say, well, this isn't actual material, physical bread. This has a deeper spiritual meaning. And the Reformers said, that's absurd. There's a consensus among many great minds in history about this phrase, our daily bread, and for what it's worth, I do agree with them, and I'll just give you a sampling. Martin Luther, he wrote, bread, about this verse, bread was a symbol for everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. So he says, not talking about spiritual. He's talking about our daily needs, Martin Luther thought. The Puritan William Perkins, he said about this verse, it must be taken in a general sense, not only for bread, but for all other necessary food, and for clothing also, with health, peace, liberty, and all other things that are needful for the good outward estate of man or family or commonwealth. In other words, bread refers to whatever serves for our physical being and well-being. So they're all saying it's not spiritual. This is a prayer for things that meet our physical well-being. And finally, Matthew Henry, he wrote, because our natural being is necessary to our spiritual being in this world, therefore, after the things of God's glory, kingdom, and will, that's the order of the prayer, right? Therefore, after the things of God's glory, kingdom, and will, we pray now for the necessary supports and comforts of this present life, which are the gifts of God and must be asked of Him. So, what are they saying? What's the consensus there? What is daily bread? Their answer, I believe it's the right answer, is that daily bread encompasses everything we need for this present life. Food, drink, clothing, shelter, safety. All these things that we need to live this present physical life. This is how it sounds in prayer. If we understand that, having moved through worship in prayer and having moved through submission or surrender in prayer, and now boldly we say to God, give me. Think about that. Where Jesus goes in the prayer, give me. To our Father in heaven, we say, give to me. I praise you. This is how we've prayed. I praise you, God, for who you are. I praise you for what you have done. I submit my life to you. Not my will, but your will. Father, please, please do not grant, this is surrender, do not grant my desires if they are not in accordance with your will and therefore they are not in my best interest. That's how we've been praying so far, according to the direction of Jesus. And now, worship and surrender. And now, at this point in the prayer, with boldness, God, give me my daily bread. Father in heaven, give me my daily bread. Give me everything I need for this present life. Father in heaven, give me food. Father in heaven, give me water. Father in heaven, give me safety and freedom and shelter and clothing and rest. And not only do you pray this for yourself, it extends to those you know and love, which is why we pray, God, give us what? Our. It's not my. We're being taught to pray this way. Give us our. Who's the our? Your family, your loved ones, your church. Give us our daily bread. It's what's prayed in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. It's a great proverb. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Scripture speaks to this elsewhere in multiple places. There's a danger in poverty and there's a danger in riches. So what's the prayer? Father, give me the food that is needful for me. In his book, A Praying Life, Paul Miller has said, in the church, most prayer requests are limited to sickness. And see if you think this is true. It's true in my experience. In the church, most prayer requests are limited to sickness, joblessness, kids in crisis, and maybe an occasional missionary. Yet Jesus' prayer for daily bread was an invitation to bring all our needs to him. All our needs to him. Now, there's just one more thing that I want us to see here in order to fully understand and answer this first question. What are we being told to pray for here? And I want to zero in on these two words, this day. This day. Did you notice in this prayer how far out, look at this verse, how far out is Jesus thinking? Give us this day our daily bread. He's not looking ahead months. He's not looking ahead years. The expectation is that you and I would ask for this every single day. It's convicting to me. When was the last time that you prayed for your daily needs? Your daily needs. By God's grace, not many of us, maybe none of us, have circumstances that prompt this prayer. There are many people in the world today who have circumstances that prompt the prayer, give me this day my daily bread, because there's many people today who don't know where their food is going to come from today. But I wouldn't be surprised if not one of us couldn't remember the last time we worried about that. So we have to really slow down and consider this. The reality is that most of the people in Jesus' day, they lived hand to mouth. And later on in this very chapter, in verse 34, Jesus will tell his disciples not to even worry about tomorrow. Because today, each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. All they had, many that Jesus was talking to, was enough for the day. And so their circumstances reminded them just how dependent they were. And in a sense, I would say that our circumstances are not very helpful. We don't live hand to mouth. We live hand to fridge, to freezer, to mouth, and what we don't use, to trash. That's very different. And so when it comes to today, we think we got this. This is not a concern. My daily bread. This is not a worry. I have everything I need, and I have had, many of us, everything I need for a long time. And so what do? We pray about the past and all of our guilt and regrets. We pray about the future and all of our worry and anxiety. But what about today? What about today? And when we don't pray for this in the morning and we don't thank God for it at night, we take it for granted. And then pretty soon we're complaining about the silliest things because we forget the massive gift that each day holds. Do you remember God taught his people this back in Exodus chapter 16 when they were fresh out of Egypt? This very principle that we're looking at. They had been out of Egypt for 2 months, and you remember how they were brought out of Egypt was, to say the least, it was pretty spectacular how they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. And they were happy-go-lucky for 2 months only, and then they started complaining, and they were complaining because they missed the meat pots and the bread. They were complaining to God because they missed how well-fed they were when they were slaves. If only we could go back to the day when we were slaves, but we had good meat pots and we had good bread. So you remember what God did? God rained bread from heaven. He rained bread from heaven. In the morning, the dew would transform into some kind of bread-like food that they could gather and eat. But here's how this relates to our text today. There was a catch. Do you remember the catch? They could only gather enough for one day. So think about this. They could only gather enough for one day. And they were not allowed to save it, to store it, to hoard it. And if they did, you remember what happened? It rot. It rot. It was designed by God to have this 24-hour shelf life. Friends, God was teaching them to be grateful for God meeting their daily needs. Because the next morning, they needed God to give them their bread again. And the next morning, they needed God to give them their bread again. They couldn't store it. They couldn't save it. They couldn't plan ahead. They couldn't worry about the future. They didn't have time to wallow in the past. They woke up and prayed and were dependent on God for their daily needs. And what do you think their level of gratitude and thankfulness was in the evening? Thank you, God. God, give us our daily bread. God, thank you for giving us our daily bread. So Jesus calls us. He calls us to daily pray that God would give us everything we need for today. Some of us, and I'm guilty of this, some of us can live in the, this depends on our frame and experience and day, but some of us can have a tendency to live in the past. And so we deal with things like regret and guilt and shame. What is all that? It's all looking back. Others of us live in the future, and so we're more prone to worry, and we're more prone to anxiety and to fear. But very few of us have learned to live in the present. One day at a time. Asking God for provision and thanking Him for it. But that's how we're commanded to pray here. Now, what's the basis? Let's move on to the second question here. So, what's the basis for this daily prayer? Asking God to give us everything we need for life today. What's the basis for that? One, we are totally dependent on God. You have plenty, though. Why would you ask God for needs to be met that are already met? Because you've already got it taken care of. The fridge is full, maybe. So why would you ask God to meet needs that are already met? And you will only do that if you truly understand and believe this, that you are totally dependent on God. If you think you're good and you're fine and you're independent from God, then you wouldn't pray this. But you will if you understand you're totally dependent on God. Of course you work. You work. You don't just wake up and pray and then assume it will happen and wait for manna to come down from heaven. You work, and that's good. Proverbs 20:17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel. You're not working rightly for it. Proverbs 31:27, she looks well to the ways of her household, the Proverbs 31 woman, and does not eat the bread of idleness. So of course we work for our daily bread. But the question is, do you also pray? We should work and we should pray. We should, the Puritans say, plow and pray. Plow and pray. Richard Sibbes wrote this. It was really good, I think. Richard Sibbes wrote, in prayer, we tempt God if we ask for that which we labor not for. Our faithful endeavors must second our devotion. If we pray for grace and neglect the spring from whence it comes, how can we speak? It was a rule in ancient times, lay thy hand to the plow and then pray. No man, Mr. Sibbes said, should pray without plowing, nor plow without prayer. The scriptures where this is found, Proverbs 21:31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Nehemiah 4:9, where God's people were rebuilding the wall, they learned their enemies were plotting an attack against them, and it says this, and we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. You hear that? Work hard and trust God. Plow and pray. Do something and depend on God. Paul Miller wrote, if you are not praying, then you are quietly confident that time, money, and talent is all you need in life. So do we understand and believe that we are totally dependent on God? Yes, your daily needs are met because you work, but that's only part of the answer. There is work to do, and you are able to do it because God has been good to you. So I'm dependent on God. Proverbs 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Dependent on him. John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Chronicles 29:14, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. So the first basis for this prayer for daily bread is that you and I, we are totally dependent on God. And now second, not only are we totally dependent on God, God is totally dependable. Finally, this prayer for our daily bread is prayed confidently because of promises like Philippians 4:19, which says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The context of that verse seems to make clear that needs is material needs in that verse. God will supply all the needs we have. God may not give us prosperity, but he will supply our needs. God hears and he answers. God is your heavenly Father and he cares for you. And he cares for you spiritually and physically. We should not separate that. God cares for your spiritual well-being, of course. Does he care for it more than your physical well-being? Of course not. You are body and soul, and he cares for you. And he cares for your physical well-being, which is why the very first thing that is prayed for is our physical well-being. God, give us our daily bread. And God promises to care for you, doesn't he? He promises to care for us in the verses we've read. God may delay at times. God often tarries, but he will come through. David McIntyre wrote, prayer not only obtains mercies, it sweetens and sanctifies them. God does not delay to hear our prayers because he has no mind to give, but that by enlarging our desires, he may give us the more largely. So in conclusion, it's a very simple question. It's a question I'm asking myself. Do you pray like this? Is this on your list? Father in heaven, give us this day. Give us our daily bread. Father in heaven, this day, would you meet all of our needs? Father in heaven, would you care for me and care for our family today? If I don't pray like that, why not? Why am I not praying that way? What's keeping me from praying like that? Do I believe what I've been reminded of today? Do I believe that I really am? I'm totally dependent on God. And do I really believe that God is totally dependable? If I do, how will I pray? Father in heaven, Give us this day our daily bread. And as he does, because he does, I'll come to him at the end of the day and say, Father in heaven, thank you for this day giving us our daily bread. Let's pray.